to Mr. Biz Radio, Biz Talk for biz owners. If you're ready to stop faking the funk and take your business onward and upward, this show is for you. And now, here's Mr. Biz, Ken Wentworth.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Mr. Biz Radio with me, Mr. Biz, Ken Wentworth. And this week, we are going to talk about a lot of different things. But amongst those, we're going to talk about disruption. We're going to talk about forging ahead in a sort of, not necessarily, I wouldn't call it new, but in the grand scheme of industries, it's a new industry, still working through some growth and some growing pains, I should say. And along with that, we decided, hey, if we're going to talk about this, we want to get someone who is at the forefront, is at the cutting edge of this industry. And this week we've got And we're excited to have a very special guest on the show. He's the CEO of the United Esports League, which is the largest multi-game esports league in the country. Prior to his work in esports, he had an incredibly successful career in real estate, where he oversaw hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue. His passion for competition and innovation led him to launch the UEL, which has quickly become a staple in the gaming community. He's a visionary leader who has dedicated his career to growing the esports industry and creating opportunities for gamers everywhere. Titus Walker, welcome to Mr. Biz Radio.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, great intro. Yeah, yeah. By the way. Yeah, yeah. No, it's super interesting. I mean, we've never, in 6.5 years on the show, we've never talked about esports. I don't know why the heck we haven't. And you know, it's growing by leaps and bounds every stinking day. And yes, when we found you, you know, people on the team go out and look for guests and things like that. And I said, you know, we don't talk about esports. Let's find someone in the esports world. And they came up with a few different people. And I'm going through, you know, they give me the information. I'm going through it. I'm like, this is my guy right here. I got to talk to Titus. This is my guy.
Yeah.
So Titus, tell me a little bit. Let's get started with, I mean, we typically talk to the guests and talk about sort of their entrepreneurial journey, especially moving from real estate into esports, being sure. A disruptor and everything like that. Tell us a little bit about your overall entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah, sure. I started my journey, entrepreneurial journey in real estate, and as you said, and essentially what I would do is I worked with a group that would go in and develop land, and so we'd buy big bulks of land, you know, hundreds of acres at a time. We would develop them into communities, and I started basically kind of learning the ins and outs of the. From the legality of everything to the sales portion of everything, start to finish, and built up probably in my career, I'd say of somewhere around 30 to 40 different communities. And so did that for probably about 7 to 8 years, saved up a ton of money and realized, you know, it wasn't really for me. And as I was trying to think of different things to do, because I knew real estate is cyclical and there's, you know, ups and downs, and we were experiencing, this was 2019, and everybody kind of knows what happened in that 2020 realm, but yeah. I knew that something was coming, and so I was like, okay, let me start searching what I love, which is, you know, video games, and that's something that I've loved since I was a kid. So I started trying to find ways to get into the business side of that, researched a ton of the business side of esports, mm-hmm. and saw a huge gap in the way esports has one, what the way it was created, and then the trend that it's followed along the way. It's kind of kept this same trend line that everybody that's in esports does it the exact same way, in the exact same format, and the exact same business model. And the crazy thing about that is that business model doesn't work. And I think mm-hmm. anybody in esports can vouch for me on this one. There's no money in esports. Unless they figure out how to work it, which we've done, there's no money in esports. And so when I started doing the research, I worked with Mary Washington University, and we had their business team kind of put together some research to figure out, okay, what is the average amount of games that are played by a gamer in a year? This is 24 different games throughout a year that are played okay. by an average gamer, right? And we found there's 3.3 billion gamers out there. The average gamer buys about 24 games per year. And then we found that every esport played one game, just one, right? And it was like, okay, well, that's kind of capping your market quite a bit. And I, you know, being in from the business side of things, I was like, well, you know, is that something I really want to do? Do I want to start an industry where I'm putting a cap on myself and doing one game that now has an audience? There's 3.3 billion gamers. Maybe this game has an audience of like a million. I'm missing a huge portion of that industry, sure. Right? So I started doing more research, and I found there was no such thing as a esport that really houses multiple games or focuses on gaming as a whole. And so I was like, well, why don't I create one? You know, why don't I focus on that instead and become a disruptor of esports as it stands, but become the creator of the esport that actually works in this mm-hmm. industry? And so started doing a ton of research on the creation of the NBA, the creation of the NFL, and where I really found my blueprint, if you will, was in the creation of the UFC. Okay. Followed it, you know, I probably watched two UFC fights in my whole life, but I've always been intrigued by the business model of it all. Mm-hmm. Because yeah. when you think about it, when the UFC was created, there were essentially, you had boxing, you had wrestling, you had jiu-jitsu, you had all these different fighting formats, right? But, and they all were okay on their own, but the UFC still took that and said, I think I can rebrand this and rebuild this and create something that encompasses all of this, yeah. right? And so rather than just focusing on one, you know, industry or one niche, the UFC captures all of those. They capture people that love boxing, wrestling, you know, jiu-jitsu, what all of it, right? And so I was like, well, why can't we do that in gaming? So I created the sport that focuses on the different game styles, which there's five major game categories: strategy games, sports games, racing games, fighting games, and shooting games. And so we created a sport that encompasses all of those and focuses on the genre instead of the game. Another big hole that fills is, right now, in every esport, you build up a community, you build up an industry, and let's say you have 100 million people playing in that game or in your community that you've built, right? Mm-hmm. The second that game, let's call it Call of Duty, decides to say, hey, this is mine, I own it, I own the game, it's my IP, I don't want you playing it anymore, what are your choices? And the answer is none, right? You have no choices, because they own that IP, they own that intellectual property. So it doesn't matter how big the community, it's like if I bought if I don't own this big patch of land, but I build a huge mansion on it, it's not mine. Therefore, the second that the person that owns the land decides to pull it, it's theirs. And I learned that in real estate. And yeah. so that is something that I've built up and we've been going ever since. We're up to around 400 professional gamers in our league and hundreds of thousands, if not millions of views per year.
Interesting. Well, man, Titus, you said so many things that really resonated with me, like a student of the game, right? And when I say the game, I don't mean gaming necessarily, I'm a business, right? And the reason it resonated with me, and I do the same thing. I studied the UFC, right? I'm not even in any of this stuff. I study successful businesses. I don't care what industry is in it. My friends make fun of me. We're running out of time here, but I got to say this real quick. My friends made fun of me because I watched the Netflix special. I think it was called Drug Lords. I'm like, man, if these dudes can build multi-billion dollar businesses with illegal stuff, what could they do if it was legal and didn't have to go through all the hurdles? So yep. We're going to hit a break here on Mr. Biz Radio. Come back. We'll continue talking with Titus Walker.
If you would like to reach hundreds of thousands of business owners every week, Mr. Biz Radio can help. Our show airs globally 7 days a week for more than 25 hours across several internet radio stations, plus 20-plus podcast platforms. Also, video exposure on the new exclusive Mr. Biz Network streaming channel, which gets blasted to 100-plus streaming platforms and the Mr. Biz YouTube channel and our 350,000 social media followers multiple times every week. Join Mr. Biz Nation as an advertiser by emailing us at info@MrBizSolutions.com.
Are you ready to automate your business? Automation is the key to scaling a business and building wealth. It's also one of the most difficult things for a small business owner to do on their own. If you're looking for help with automation, Pulse Technology CRM can help. We have an exclusive offer for Mr. Biz Nation. We will build everything for free, even if it's a sophisticated funnel. Visit thepulsespot.com/Mr. Biz for this exclusive offer.
Question for Mr. Biz you want answered on air? Email it to info@MrBizSolutions.com. Now, once again, here's Mr. Biz.
All right, welcome back to the show, and it's time for Mr. Biz Tip of the Week. And this week's tip, so I get asked these questions all the time, not only when I get interviewed, but also just people randomly will ask these questions or anything. My most recent book, Don't Fake the Funk, which is about achieving massive goals. People talk in there, I have the SMAC formula, S-M-A-C. People ask me all the time, what's that stand for? What's that an acronym for? And so today I wanted to mention the C. What is the C in the SMAC formula within Don't Fake the Funk, the book? And C stands for what I call consistent perseverance. To achieve any goal, you got to have consistent perseverance. You're going to get knocked down. You're going to have trials and tribulations. You're going to have challenges. I don't care how smart you are, how pretty you are, how handsome you are, who you know, what you know, how much money you have. You're going to have challenges. If you don't have the fortitude to have consistent perseverance and continue to get up when you get knocked down, you're probably not going to be a successful entrepreneur. And I'm sure Titus will agree with this as well. I'm sure he's had some challenges with UEL as he launched it. So that's the Mr. Biz Tip of the Week. Consistent perseverance, super, super important. I'll tell you this much. It's this important. When I mentor people that are in the what I call wantrepreneur stage, right? They say, man, I got a corporate job or I got a 9-to-5 and I want to be an entrepreneur. The main thing, without telling them, that I try to determine is if they have consistent perseverance. Because if you don't have that, you will not be a successful entrepreneur. You will not. So there have been times where I've had to tell people, look, I don't think you're cut out for this. I don't think you got the right mindset. And I kind of feel like that consistent perseverance, you kind of have or you don't. I mean, you might be able to improve it some, but man, you got to just have that right mindset to be able to do that. So that's Mr. Biz Tip of the Week. We're going to get back into talking to Mr. Titus Walker, who's the CEO of the UEL, which is the United Esports League. You can follow him on the gram, on Twitter, get on TikTok, and he also has a YouTube channel. So Titus, I guess going back a little bit, was there a specific moment in real estate? I know you had mentioned, you know, the cyclicality of it and you were heading into a, you know, rough patch as you could see, but was there something specific that you said, that's it, man, I got to get out of this. I got to figure something else out.
It's kind of wild. I was really at the peak when I decided to start, start doing something else. I was the number one producer, at the time. And I just, I've studied the markets for so long. I mean, from the second I started, right? So it's like 7-8 years. I started studying the markets from the second I got into the industry. And I just recognized that, you know, it is cyclical. And I've never wanted to depend on someone else in order to be able to provide for me and my family. And so, that right there is really all I needed. It pushed me to where this is great. I'm making more money than I've ever made in my entire life and probably more money. I'm a part of the one percenters, right? But it wasn't for me. It was like, if this can't last, then it's not worth, you know, continuing to depend on, because eventually I'm gonna end up, you know, homeless if I continue this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I relate, man. I left the corporate world very similarly. I was, you know, it sort of at the top of my game, doing really well, and just I'd always kind of want to do my own thing anyway. And the funny story that wrote the ending part of the story, when I decided I was going to leave, I was in New York City. I worked for J.P. Morgan, and I called my wife from the airport, and I was getting promoted to the top 1% of people in J.P. Morgan. And my wife, I told her, she said, oh my God, that's great. You know, whatever. And I said, I'm going to leave. And she said, oh, your plane's taking off. You got to go. I said, no, I'm going to resign. And my wife accused me of having adult beverages at the airport. She said, have you been drinking? I'm like, no. Yeah. She's like, why don't we talk about this when you get home?
Yeah.
But I get that, man. I get it. And I'd always want to do that on my own, you know, do my own thing and all that kind of stuff. And I'm super happy now. Like, I wasn't dissatisfied with my career, you know, previously. I mean, I did really well, and they treated me super well and loved my career, that it enabled me to do what I do now. And it sounds like you've taken some lessons you learned in the real estate world as well into launching UEL. So how did you decide that you wanted to get into esports? Is it just because you were so interested in the gaming?
Yeah, I really wanted to do gaming. And my wife actually had the idea to start an arcade, right? And as you know, being from the business world, when I began looking into starting the arcade, I realized quickly, like, okay, the arcade back in the day made sense. That style of like, oh, you come out, you play video games together. But in today's world, it doesn't make sense. The arcade is your living room, you know, Discord,
right?
All of these different platforms that you can really be almost right next to somebody virtually. So the arcade model didn't work anymore. And so I was like, okay, well, what can I do to still be in gaming and still create this arcade, but have something that draws people in, that brings people in on a regular basis? And that's kind of what pushed me into the esports side of things. Once I saw that huge hole to fill, I was like, oh, well, I know if you have a hole to fill in a business, especially a hole this big, I mean, this is an entire industry that is failing, period. It's failing. And with a gap this big in an industry, I thought, okay, this is the perfect business to get into. I mean, it's very rare that you find a gap in an industry that's this big. You know, UFC was an example of that, where there's just this huge gap in the fighting game, the fighting industry. And so it was just the right time, right place, the right mindset. And we built it from there.
Interesting. Well, you know, I know you know this because you've studied it, but one of the things I found interesting, and I've actually heard Dana White speak a couple of times, speaking of the UFC, you know, they originally bought the UFC for $2 million.
Yep.
And then continued to go downhill.
Yep.
Right. And he had to call up the business partners of Fertitta Brothers and ask for more money. And they're like, wait a minute, we don't know if we want to throw more money after this. Like, and he convinced them. And I'm sure, as you know, they sold, I don't know, whatever, 5-6 years ago for $4 billion.
Yeah.
They clearly, you know, figured it out, because that that combat sport industry just wasn't doing. And to your point, Titus, those individual areas were doing okay, but even some of those were slipping.
Yep.
You know, wrestling wasn't big. You didn't see that on television. Yep. You didn't make any money as a wrestler. I mean, I guess if you're in the WWE and you're one of the superstars there, you know, in that world maybe. But you know, even boxing, you know, once Tyson was kind of out of the picture, shortly thereafter, there wasn't a whole lot of money. You had a couple of guys that were making money, and that's it. You know, if you got to fight Mayweather, you're going to make money. But, you know, other than that, there's a huge gap. And it sounds like you identified a very similar gap in the esports world. And kind of, it sounds like you kind of took even that UFC approach of combining these different games into one huge league.
Yep. And that takes the rug pull away from the developers' hands. They no longer can tell me what I can and can't do, what I can and can't play. Because I have so many games that we're playing all at once, essentially they don't, at a certain point, because my community doesn't care what games we're playing, they're going to want to use me as advertising for their games, right? So you flip it on its head, and now the developer's coming to me. I don't have to go to the developer anymore. They come to me and say, look, we know you have a community 100 million strong. We want to see our game on your wheel. How do we do that, right? And so that is where we've taken that power, we've given the power to the community, the power of community, we've given it back to the community and taken it away from the developers.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. You know, I was going to mention this earlier. I could tell you're a visionary, Titus. A lot of people say they're visionary. I can tell you're a visionary because you were starting this and launching this, and you're already thinking about IP. Most people don't think about that stuff until sometimes it's too late,
yes.
Right? And then they completely lose everything. So we're going to hit a break here, guys. We're continuing talking with Titus. We're going to learn all sorts of different things about launching UEL, becoming a disruptor, et cetera. Come back after the break on Mr. Biz Radio.
How would you like to have direct access to Mr. Biz to help you run your business more profitably and more efficiently? At MrBizSolutions.com, you get live access to not only Mr. Biz, but also several of his hand-picked and trusted business experts, each with 20-plus years of experience to help you optimally manage and grow your business. That's just the start of where Mr. Biz Solutions begins. Learn more at MrBizSolutions.com. That's MrBizSolutions.com.
Business owners have a continually growing to-do list with little time for revenue-producing activities. With Check Off Your List and their experienced team of virtual assistants, you can focus on growing your business. Visit checkoffyourlist.com to learn how Check Off Your List's skilled team can handle your day-to-day tasks like social media, bookkeeping, calendar maintenance, and much more. Contact Check Off Your List at checkoffyourlist.com or call 888-262-1249 to see how their virtual assistants can help you live to work rather than work to live.
Check out all three of Mr. Biz's best-selling books at MrBizBooks.com. Now, once again, here's Mr. Biz.
All right, welcome back to the show. Again, this week we're talking to Mr. Titus Walker. He is the CEO of United Esports League. Again, you can find UEL Esports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, Twitch, everywhere. Find them everywhere, UEL Esports. Go out there and follow them and connect with what he's got going on and all the things that are going on. So Titus, you know, we're talking a little bit about a lot of different things, but so as you were launching, again, I know esports isn't new, right? I know it's been around a while, but as an industry, you know, it's not like plumbing. It's not, you know, plumbing's right. Hundreds of years old. So in that regard, it's still sort of in its infancy stages.
Absolutely.
And then you're launching into something and doing something completely disruptive than all the other esport leagues were doing. You know, talk to us about some of the challenges and tribulations that you faced with that, and then sort of how you overcame some of those.
Yeah. So I'll start with the obvious one. We started, we came up with the concept December 2019, probably the worst time to come out with any type of business in history, right?
Right.
And so we were supposed to launch in April of 2020. And immediately got shut down. Government shutdown happened in COVID, and so we had to kind of postpone. But from that point, when we started doing the league and we started promoting it, it was like there was so much pushback. And there was one quote that I thought about to keep me going, to keep me focused, and that was a quote that I heard kind of randomly. I read a lot, and I read it in a book, and it was Henry Ford who said, if I would have asked the consumer what they wanted, they would have asked for a faster horse, right? And essentially, I just kept thinking that. Like, look, I know that because people would come, why don't you do it the regular way? Why don't you just do it this way? Why don't you just do it that way? And they all wanted me to follow the model that they're used to. And, you know, being that they had never seen my model in action, and I'm trying to tell them, hey, no, it's going to be great. It's going to be great, you know? That was probably, I would say it was one of the hardest times, but no, it was definitely a tough time to push through that adversity of like everyone that you were trying to speak to didn't want what you had to sell, right? They didn't want what you were offering. And so our first season, we were playing for $10,000, and in a local tournament, that's unheard of, right? So I put up big money for this. We had 14 mm-hmm. people come out. So if you do the math on that,
right.
Money's not there, right? It's yeah. not there, right? And so those 14 people season one stuck around. They loved it. They really enjoyed it. It was like, that's kind of what I held on to. And we did a season two, another $10,000. And it was like, all right, we're gonna keep pushing this thing. And so still getting that same pushback. Everybody that's joining is just, they want what they're used to, right? They can't
right.
see... And you really can't expect them to see what you see because it's your dream. It's your vision. And sure. It's really the same with I read a book, The Innovator's Dilemma. And even with all of the larger brands and the larger companies, it's great that they can't see it because they're so big that it's tough for them to pivot. Right. That gives you the advantage as a smaller company to be able to pivot fast and be able to take over the industry before they even see it coming, right? And by the time they actually pay attention, everyone else is too. So it's okay that they are, right?
Yeah.
And so I kind of just kept you know, studying, kept reading, kept pushing forward. Season two, I think we had like 30. So we doubled in size,
yeah.
30 different pros. By season three, we had probably around 70. And so we just continued to grow at a kind of slow pace up until about 6 months ago. And right before this kind of explosion, we had the explosion of another kind where a lot of the people involved became, became very negative, and kind of started to try to almost poison the community and cause tons of issues and tons of like just a headache, you know, and I'm, you know, trying to manage it with my team and trying to make sure we keep people motivated. Cause again, it's a tough thing to do to not only really trailblaze something, but to make them have to go through all the ups and downs with me, you right. know, because every yeah. pro within my league also has that option of going and doing the normal thing instead. Right. And so keeping them involved through all those ups and downs became a really difficult dance that I had to learn how to do over time, and got really good at it. And you know, like I said, about 6 months ago, had a cybersecurity company. Well, it's a little over 6 months ago, had a cybersecurity company that is very big in the community reach out and decided to invest heavily in our community. And then took that and ended up meeting one of the best friends of, I'm sorry, the cousin of Jay-Z, who helps, is a director at Roc Nation. And then that kind of helped me meet some big celebrities that ended up, you know, purchasing teams and getting involved, and just started kind of doing that Nike swoosh curve of just like, you know, it seems like it's, you know, you're pushing your way up, and now it's just like it's exploding. And we really, I couldn't be happier enough, but we have a massive team now of people that are involved. Our last draft had over 200 people trying to join. So we have 400 professionals. We had 200 people just trying to get in, and we only had about 20 spots.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
Like, and it's just continuous. And we do that. That's, you know, every 3 or 4 months we're doing another draft where we're getting new pros in. We have one of the top fighting game players in the world in our league now. Some of the top shooting game players, strategy, and they're not coming for a game. They're coming for the game, which is UEL, right? And so yeah. UEL esports is really going to disrupt the industry, but also improve the industry and help it become what it was always meant to be. And so I'm extremely excited, but talk about adversity, it's all over the place.
Well, it's interesting, Titus, too, because, you know, and I talk about this often, but, you know, the challenges you face when you launch and you're, you know, kind of bootstrapping and you're trying to get things going. And then when you finally hit that stick of dynamite and phew, things take off, you know, as a CEO, it takes a certain skill set to manage through this, right? You're keeping the troops inspired, right? Seeing your vision, don't let them get downtrodden. And then things start to take off, and it takes a whole nother skill set. And you're probably experiencing that right now than it did when you were down here, right? Yep. And you got to really keep your eye on the prize when you're in that situation, because now, you know, you got a whole nother host of problems. They're, as they say, good problems to have, but, you know, it takes a whole nother thing. So hats off to you, man. I mean, I can't even imagine trying to just hold on to the reins as this thing's just taking off.
Yeah. It's like, it's probably one of the most surreal things when you have, when you've dreamed something and then you get to watch it in reality, it's so satisfying.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing I would imagine as well. It's got to be super satisfying for you, for the people who are with you from the beginning and stuck with you and were loyal. And then I'm sure there were some people who jumped ship and said, this is never going to work, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And now they're like, crap.
Yeah.
I should have stayed on with Titus. I should have, you know, realized his vision and it's going to be successful. Yep. It's super inspiring, Titus. Look, I mean, I wish you all the luck in the world, man. I really appreciate you coming on the show. We're running out of time here, but really appreciate you coming on the show here. And
Yeah, man. And like you said, I mean, we started with 6 investors, I'll be short. And then it became just me and my wife. So like you said, they jumped ship, we gave them their money back, and now look at now, you know, where we were, where we are now. So thank you so much for having me on. It's
absolutely,
it's been,
man.
It's been great.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on, Titus. So again, go out and follow UEL Esports on Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, TikTok, YouTube channel. Guys, have a great rest of your week. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. And don't forget, as always, cash flow is king.
To become part of Mr. Biz Nation, follow him on all social media platforms or never miss a show by going to MrBizRadio.com. If you prefer free video content, visit the Mr. Biz YouTube channel or check out his streaming channel, which is available on 100-plus streaming platforms at MrBizNetwork.com.